You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Cardinals baseball today on this Monday, March 14th, with Jennifer Langosch, MLB.com Cardinals reporter. Jennifer, thank you as always for the time, and let's dive right in. Adam Wainwright, over the weekend, his second outing of the spring. From what you saw and based on his post-game comments, it was a better start than what he had initially. Of course, his first start in quite some time, coming off the season-ending injury in 2015. So what were the biggest differences that you saw between that start and the first one he made in the spring?
Yeah, I mean, for him, it's just getting his command to where he wants it to be. You know, Wainwright has been through the spring training process each of the last, you know, basically 10 years. So he knows what he needs to do to get ready. Now, it was funny, after his first start, he joked that he was able to throw pitches into a bucket, and now he wanted to throw them into like a smaller target. So he was able to accomplish that on Saturday, worked with his curveball a little bit more, a pitch we didn't see him use very much of his first spring start. Again, he just approaches these as he needs to. Command is really the big thing from this point on, and then building up the arm strength certainly moving forward.
And I found it interesting, not about the start per se, but during the post-game comments, somebody brought up the Cubs just kind of out of nowhere, and Wainwright was quoted as saying, "There's no reason to talk about the Cubs today. We're going to deal with the Cubs when we play the Cubs." A little bit of a edge in his voice. Do you sense that, you know, for as long, as far back as this rivalry has gone, that there's a bit more edge and a bit more spice to things because the Cubs are everybody's pick to win the World Series right now, it seems?
Yeah, there is. And, you know, I mean, the Cardinals, as media members, you know, especially those as national media members, come through spring training, every time they step into that clubhouse, their questions are about the Cubs. And I think at a certain point that rubs Cardinal players the wrong way. I mean, this is a team here that's won three straight division titles, won 100 games last year. Sure, they were knocked out by the Cubs, but, I mean, this is a team that still feels like it is the club to beat to take the NL Central. So, you know, they're trying to laugh it off and shrug it off, but I can tell you that this is a club that entered spring with a chip on its shoulder, and the more it's asked about the Chicago Cubs, I think the more fire is going to kind of come beneath them. So, you know, they're welcome. They welcome the opportunity to play the underdog role. It's a role that they haven't really filled in many years. So kind of they welcome those expectations being put on the Cubs, the target in Chicago instead. But, yeah, I mean, at a certain point, they're just sick and tired of answering questions about the Cubs. And, again, this is a team that really feels like it's still the team to beat in that NL Central. And, you know, quite frankly, given their track record of the last decade, they are. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, April 18th is the first of 19 games between those two NL Central rivals. I think it's going to be a fantastic rivalry to watch play out this year. But, yeah, I would expect the Cardinals to come with a little something extra this year when they do play their Chicago rivals.
And it's going to be so much fun to watch, even if you're not a fan of the Cubs or Cardinals per se, just to watch these teams go at it 19 times, and then who knows what the postseason could bring. It's going to be so much fun, so exciting to watch all season long. You know, when you go back to, say, like the early 2000s, when you look at the Red Sox and Yankees, I think when you look at the rivalries between those two teams and the Cubs and Cardinals, kind of the difference was the Cubs and Cardinals at that time, more of a rivalry between the fan bases, whereas the Red Sox and Yankees, it really spilled onto the field between the players. You really saw that animosity between the foul lines. Is that the direction that this rivalry is now going between the Cubs and Cardinals, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so fascinating that, you know, for years, as big as this rivalry has been, I mean, you hit it, that the fact that the Cardinals and the Cubs have rarely both been good at the same time. I mean, it's pretty incredible to think that their meeting in the postseason last year was the first time those two clubs had met in October ever. So, you know, the fact that now they're kind of on a crash course to both be potentially very good this year, to potentially be fighting each other for that spot, you know, atop the division, then also, you know, going deep into October, I think that's what's going to make it unique this year. It has always been a good rivalry. It will always be a good rivalry, whether one team is on its way to 100 wins and the other 100 losses, or whatever, but the fact that both of these teams consider themselves World Series contenders, again, really for the first time in a long time, that overlap, I think, is going to bring this rivalry to a new level. So, yeah, I mean, the fan bases have always gone at it, but on the field, and I think we saw a little bit of it last year in September with some of those meaningful games, a little bit of chirpiness from both dugouts. You know, Joe Maddon with his comments about the Cardinals being vigilantes, that not sitting well in St. Louis's clubhouse. So all of a sudden, kind of that feel of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, I think, might be spilling over to the NL Central.
It's going to be fun. I mean, I can't wait to see the reactions for guys like John Lackey and Jason Hayward when they return to St. Louis, even though they were very short-term Cardinals. I think given everything that you just mentioned with the states of the two teams and the chirpiness and the back and forth, it's just going to be a lot of fun to watch in 2016. I personally cannot wait for that. Jennifer, to switch gears a little bit, the other day, I believe against the Mets, the Cardinals hit four home runs. Now, yes, it's spring training, but to see the Cardinals hit four homers in a game, I don't know if that happened at any point last year. You take a look at the numbers. Last year, 25th out of 30 teams in total home runs. The year before, next to last, they hit just 105. I know that, you know, no team goes into spring training and says, hey, guys, let's put more over the fence this year. But is there more of a focus, more of an effort to put a little more muscle behind what they're doing at home plate this year, knowing that that's a part of their game that's been lacking in recent seasons?
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals would certainly welcome that. And I can tell you Mike Matheny is very tired of answering questions about his team's lack of power, so much so that I think this team was five games into spring training and they had yet to hit a home run. And he, you know, pointed out, well, we did hit two against the college team, so I'm going to count those. I mean, that's, you know, this has been a discussion surrounding this team for the last 3 years. So I do think as you look at how their offense profiles this year, I do think that there's reason to believe there will be an uptick in power. Part of it's going to be dependent upon what kind of sorts itself out at first base. Both Brandon Moss and Matt Adams obviously bring the home run ability. Who gets the playing time when? You know, that'll certainly dictate some. I think Randall Grichuk as an everyday starting center fielder, this is a guy who, you know, I'm not afraid to peg him as a 30-plus homer type player if he can stay healthy, which he hasn't been able to very well thus far in his career. So that's the key. You know, we saw Matt Carpenter approach 30 homers last year. I think Stephen Piscotty will see, you know, probably hit between 15 and 20. So the potential is certainly there. And the Cardinals, you know, it certainly was a labor-intensive offense last year, and they'd like to get away from that and be able to, with one swing, score two or three runs. So they certainly hope there's an uptick there, but I will tell you that, again, they're kind of tired of those questions as well. But you know what? They're going to keep coming until they show a little bit better power.
Yeah, well said. And, Jennifer, to switch gears on the pitching end of things, you had a great article over the weekend about Carlos Martinez in particular after he made his first spring start. And he wrote that, you know, this is a guy we've seen him now for a couple of years. He's got electric stuff in that right arm. He's very emotional, very exuberant, very enthusiastic, and sometimes that's to his detriment. Talk about kind of his post-game comments and the effort that's being made on his part to kind of keep all those emotions in check and go to that well when he has to, but to not let it override his better judgment on the mound.
Yeah, it's a very fine line because, you know, those of us who have watched Carlos Martinez mature and, you know, grow in his first couple of years in the big league, you know, we can see very evidently that when he is emotional and when he is intense, a lot of times he can feed off of that, and that can be his, you know, bring him to his best. That being said, the Cardinals have also seen it work to his detriment where he relies too much on his emotions. And, you know, if emotions aren't there, then he doesn't perform as well. So trying to find that balance is something they've really been preaching to him. I mean, it's not all that different really than it was a couple years ago with Lance Lynn. I mean, we watched Lance Lynn mature as a pitcher, a very, very angry pitcher when he showed up kind of the Chris Carpenter ilk. And, you know, and the Cardinals were afraid that it came across as showing up opponents, showing up umpires, pouting on the mound. And they really worked with him to kind of, you know, put those emotions in check and use them to his benefit. So kind of going through the same routine here with Carlos. Again, he needs to be emotional. He needs to kind of have a flair for the dramatic when he's out there. That's when he's at his best. But also be able to harness it and realize when those emotions are appropriate and when they're not. So I think we've seen, you know, tremendous maturity already from Carlos Martinez. I mean, let's remember, this is a kid who's 23 years old. He only has one full year in the Cardinals rotation. So still a learning process, but I do think he's on the right track. And, you know, he has acknowledged as well he can't always write off of his emotions. And I think that acknowledgement is probably the first good step in the right direction for him.
And, Jennifer, to wrap up here, slightly off topic, but not really. I think Carlos Martinez was one of the guys that Bryce Harper had in mind when he made his comments to the media a couple of days ago. Very candid comments to ESPN about the state of the game and how things are sometimes kind of stale and how guys like himself and maybe Carlos Martinez are not allowed, quote-unquote, to really display their emotions and just, you know, display that joy that they have for baseball because of baseball's, you know, unwritten rules, so to say. Was there any reaction to Harper's comments within the Cardinals clubhouse? Anybody, you know, agree, disagree? It really caused a firestorm. Goose Gossage certainly had his say about it, you know, and then some. But what was the reaction on the Cardinals end of things to what Bryce Harper said?
Yeah, I mean, players didn't speak openly too much about it, but they a lot of the younger players in particular seem to agree that let's let our personality shine. You know, it's an interesting topic when you talk about the Cardinals clubhouse, because so much has been made over the last several years about the Cardinal way and how this team plays the game and how they conduct themselves between the white lines. But that being said, you know, manager Mike Matheny opened spring training this year encouraging his players to have more fun, believing that this clubhouse maybe hadn't been as fun and as energetic as it needed to be in recent years. And as a result, he feared that caused some of the players to kind of wear down at the end of last season, which we saw have negative effects on the field. So, you know, he has really encouraged personalities to shine. I mean, and you have some in this clubhouse, not just young players. I mean, Adam Wainwright, there is no bigger personality in that clubhouse than Adam Wainwright, yet he has figured out a way to kind of have that goofy personality but also take care of business and be the hardest working player in that clubhouse. So, yeah, I mean, I think Carlos Martinez certainly fits the mold Bryce Harper was speaking of. I think a guy like Randall Grichuk and Stephen Piscotty, when you talk about young talent coming up that could be cornerstones of an organization, I think we're going to see more there. I think Colton Wong, this is a kid who on the backfield of spring training will do backflips. So, you know, certainly I think if the Cardinals welcome kind of that outpouring of emotion and personality, not only is it good for the game, but it also helps, I think, fans connect to these players in a unique way. So we'll see what comes of that, and we'll see. I'm not sure the spring training has been that much more fun than in years past. But, again, that is certainly a priority for this organization moving forward, and we'll see if it pays off any positive results.
Jennifer, great stuff as always, and I want to let the fans out there know that Ms. Langosch has taken time out of her hard-earned vacation to give you Cardinals knowledge this week. We cannot thank you enough, Jennifer. Thanks so much. Where is vacation for you right now?
Well, it's still in Jupiter, Florida. I'm actually headed up to Orlando a little bit later today for my last day and a half off. So, you know, just actually sleeping in and not going to the ballpark is vacation enough.
Exactly. That's enough of a vacation, especially for us in this business. Jennifer, thank you so much again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Matt Waymire signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.